Plain County Commissioners, thank you once again for coming over and helping us to move forward with some important land use decisions. And we'll get started with roll call of Springfield City Council.
Mayor Lindberg.
Here.
Counselor Van Gordon.
Here.
Counselor Wiley. Counselor Moore.
Here.
Counselor Stair. Counselor Woodrow.
Here.
Counselor Pictionary.
Here.
Counselor Wiley and Counselor Stair both excused.
Thank you. Ms. Mokraski, would you like to call the roll, or I can do that?
Commissioner Farr.
Thank you.
Commissioner Williams.
Here.
Commissioner Lycan.
Here.
Commissioner Bozovich.
Here.
And Commissioner Sorensen is excused.
So, first thing we're going to start with is our staff report and presentation from both Andy Lindberg and Amber Bell.
If you don't mind, I'm actually going to stand up close to the display here, because laser pointers don't work on a LED screen. So the proposed metro plan diagram amendment and zone change, just for context, there's three different actions before the city council, one before the board. The joint adoption of the metro plan diagram amendment would affect property that is inside the city's UGB but outside the city limits. And the city council has to adopt the metro plan amendment zone change for a portion of the site which is within the city limits, and also do a rezoning for a portion within the purview of the boundary. So the area in question is in the southeast Thurston Hills, a fairly sizable piece of property, about 665 acres roughly. And it's predominantly forest, and it extends from McKenzie Highway frontage at the north across the ridgeline all the way to Bob Straub, almost to Bob Straub Parkway. It ends at the Weyerhaeuser Hall Road. And it encompasses properties that have been annexed to the city limits. There's a 3-acre portion in the northernmost section right here. There's an area joint Springfield and Lane County jurisdiction, which is the bulk of the property, about 420 acres. And then there's areas that overlap into outside the city's UGB, which is this red line, and those are solely within Lane County jurisdiction. And I'll have, Amber can discuss the effects and the actions required by the board on the areas outside the city limits, which is the Irving Road boundary. So for the area within Springfield jurisdiction, this area was annexed in March this year, so it actually was annexed after the application was submitted. So it was a concurrent application, and it sort of changed the nature and requirement for action on this particular property. This is where the Frederick Gray House is. Many folks may be familiar with this. It's from the 1800s. And currently, Willamette Lane is constructing a trailhead parking lot at this location. The house is intended to remain. So this is kind of the focus. This will be sort of the dumping off point for the future trail development in this area, about 665 acres. So the annexation was concluded in March. And this means that this particular property is now fully within Springfield jurisdiction. So it's solely a City of Springfield action that will be required for the metro plan amendment and zone change for this particular property. The remaining 418 acres that are inside the River Grove boundary require joint action by the City of Springfield and Lane County Board of Commissioners, and that's why we're here this evening, is to look at the metro plan amendment and zone change for the bulk of the Thurston Hills, future Thurston Hills Natural Area Park, which is within the River Grove boundary. And finally, this portion is outside just for context, currently the area that is inside the metro plan boundary, you can see by the black line outlined in red, this is the extent of the property. The current designation is for low density residential. The proposal is to change the designation to parks and open space. that would facilitate the construction of trails and related amenities within this natural area park. The reason for this is that natural area parks of a regional nature are not a listed use in the low-density residential zone. And in order to affect a change of this magnitude, a metro plan amendment is required to change the plan designation in the zone. The site was identified in the city's residential housing analysis as being almost entirely vacant residential land. However, there are some constraints, and I'll get to that in a second. This is the related zoning map. Right now, the bulk of the area that is inside the city's urban growth boundaries is currently zoned low-density residential, and that includes the portion that was annexed to the city. There's a small area in the extreme southwest corner that is currently zoned for light medium industrial. And so the city council will be responsible for adopting an ordinance to change the zoning of these properties to public land and open space. So that'll be the related action that will be required in order to facilitate construction of the natural area park. And the public land and open space zoning is what essentially implements the change of the plan designation to parks and open space. So a few parallel items that are under consideration. Just wanted to, unfortunately, it's kind of the edge of the mapping that was done for the city's landslide hazard areas, but as you can see outlined in the kind of the hot pink here, this is the area in question. A large majority of it is in very high or high slide likelihood areas. So the topography of this area and the physical relief is such that, notwithstanding its residential designation and current zoning, the net amount of residential is much less than the gross area. So of the 420 acres approximately that are within the city's urban growth boundary, the net developable area is about 159 acres for the applicants. So it does have an impact on the city's residential land base. It's not 420 acres, which is more than the city's current surplus. It's about 159 acres. It would leave still a surplus of buildable low-density residential lands should this metro plan amendment zone change occur. So I just wanted to show that with the topography, with the constraints on the perimeter, there are developable areas. They're kind of interspersed within the hillside and slope areas. Economically, it makes it very difficult, typically, to develop pockets of property where there's a lot of constraints to extending roads, extending utilities, and having a large enough land base to make it economically viable for a subdivision to be constructed. So this area is predominantly, I guess, marginally developable lands as far as residential housing goes, because of the stability makes for great hiking and viewpoint areas and vistas and areas for future mountain biking trails, etc. So staff acknowledges that the impact of the city's residential land base is not the same as flat land. So I would entertain any questions.
Yes.
Joe. So your staff is claiming that's not buildable, or not, or you're declaring that it's not economically viable to build it?
Not in its entirety.
Right.
Not in its entirety. There are areas that are buildable, but they're typically isolated and I guess scattered throughout the area.
Well, I'm trying to get a handle on what you're saying, because it looks like the very high side area where I live is all built up and is economically viable then.
Correct.
And so the area that is less likely is still high, but less likely, is now not buildable?
I guess it is, it just, the challenge is it's over the top of the ridge.
Right.
Which means that utilities would have to extend somewhere else.
From the bottom side.
It means, possibly. But then, you know, it's distant from current development areas.
That western border is Bob Straub, right? Not that.
Bob Straub is right down here. This is the Weyerhaeuser Hall Road.
Gotcha, okay, got it.
Yeah. So, it's not impossible, but it's just, it's not the same as flatland areas where there's a logical just extension.
So, when we extend the utilities out, where do they go?
I think utilities end roughly here. Water and sewer.
Right.
The Jasper Trunk Sewer comes along Jasper Road and then it cuts through Mount Vernon, comes down here.
Okay.
So, but that's sending everything to the west. So, there is more detailed mapping available. This is the best that shows up at a citywide scale to provide context. There has been more detailed mapping done showing a far more refined developable area, and it's sort of like a quilt, patchwork quilt. So yeah, there are definitely areas that are in there. However, Blem Lane has ownership right now. They're not developers, and they're proposing that this be better used as part of their natural area park, which is consistent with a comprehensive plan that was adopted, which is a refinement plan of the metro plan. And the applicant, Blem Lane, will no doubt present their case in the public hearing. So I don't want to take away too much from their presentation.
I'm going to get a better grip of their handle.
So that's the summary of the actions that face the city council and the board. I'll have Amber turn in if there's anything else that you'd like to talk about. And maybe you want me to go back to one of the slides showing you.
And maybe the site context map would be helpful.
Is that good enough for the one you pulled?
The one that shows both that one.
Is that good enough?
So I just wanted to point out a few things. As Andy mentioned, the board is being asked to review one ordinance, and that is for the Type 2 Metro Plan Amendment for the areas that are between the city of Springfield city limits and the urban growth boundary, excluding the parcel that was more recently annexed into the city. And so the ordinance that is before the board includes 9 parcels. And so I'll just note there the slight distinction between the ordinance being reviewed by the city council is that the county's ordinance includes 9 parcels, whereas the board's ordinance includes 10 parcels. And so those parcels affected. There are portions that are outside of the urban growth boundary, portions of 4 parcels that are within the rural comprehensive plan, and there's no proposed amendment to those parcels at this time. So they're designated forests on the rural comprehensive plan and zoned either non-impacted forest F1 or impacted forest F2. Applicants indicated in their application that they will return at a later date under separate land use actions for development of the Thurston Hills Natural Area Park in the RCP designated areas. So that would likely be a director level review. So again, there's no action being requested for those areas at this time.
RCP is,
excuse me, Rural Comprehensive Plan. So that's the county's comprehensive plan.
Did you have more?
I don't have any further.
I'll clarify too that similar to the county's procedures, the development of the natural area park would be subject to site plan review. There was one done already for the trailhead parking lot and the facilities off McKenzie Highway. So there will be opportunity for public notification and comment for the actual physical construction. The hills themselves, and I don't want to take away too much from the applicant's presentation, but there has been timber thinning in the area historically, so there are existing haul roads and trails. So that will be, you know, the basis for much of the trail development in the area. There wasn't a significant amount of public input to this. We sent out notification, 300 feet around the outer perimeter of the entire 667 acres or so. We had a few phone calls, people were asking about, you know, how this can affect me. Does this mean that there's no, you know, houses built behind me? And for the most part, people were pretty satisfied that, you know, this was going to be retained as natural area, not future housing, so there wasn't really any concern. There were some logistical concerns about, well, who's going to police the area, and, you know, people from using it inappropriately. I guess no different than any other park or pathway system in the city and the region. You know, there's police response and actually facilitated once it's developed. It makes it easier for more people to be sort of viewing the area and the stewardship of the area. Once it's sort of being publicly used, there's more, I guess, response and attentiveness to inappropriate behavior and other issues that crop up. So.
So who does respond?
I guess right now it probably predominantly the sheriff's department because it falls almost entirely outside the city limits. Now there may be an opportunity for some type of like IGA or something for that. And I'm seeing you're seeing a tree.
There's a current IGA that allows the city to respond to calls for service outside city limits. It's an IGA with Lane County Sheriffs. But those, any arrests or citations would pass it through Lane County Circuit Court system as opposed to Springfield Municipal Court.
So a resident is going to know this. Who to call?
I guess they would have to route like 911 to, if that was an issue, but hopefully it doesn't ever come to that. But, you know, if there was an emergency, it could be sorted out through 911.
I just perceive it could be a problem creating an issue. Folks trying to figure out, it's not necessarily a 911 call, but there's somebody there doing something that they think ought to be turned in.
And there may be opportunities, and again, Landline might be better able to comment on, you know, our hotline or in case of emergency or issues, call this number and, you know, raise awareness, you know, for public users of the area that there can be some, you know, assistance provided by calling this area.
Would you like to invest here?
Yeah, thank you. So the question I have is that Landline, so again, within the park district, does not have to be part of the city. So you do not have to, that this does not have to be annexed, is that correct?
That's correct.
And so the reason why Lane County is involved in this is because this is within the urban growth boundary.
Correct.
But yet outside of the city limits.
Yes, that's correct.
And the original, for the housing designation, this was LDR, is that correct?
That's correct.
So in other words, this could have potentially been marketed as what's on the Coburg Hill hills.
Sure.
And were you assuming there wasn't a market for that in Springfield, or?
Well, I guess it would have to meet our current code requirements, which provides for access and minimum parcel size even in urbanizable fringe areas. There are limitations on land divisions until, you know, it becomes urbanizable. So to achieve the kind of urban densities you see in sort of the areas immediately to the north, it would take not only quite a bit of time, but also
a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean it's possible, but Lamaline has assembled a land, not a land developer, so. That's why it's for the city council board this evening, is because their plan, their comprehensive plan, shows us in the park area for the benefit of the region.
And so, because it's under Lamaline's ownership now, this literally can never have to be annexed, is that correct?
It won't have to be annexed unless there's a request for urban services of utilities. And that was the reason for annexing the area right off McKenzie Highway. In theory, everything within the river road boundary will be annexed at some point. But that may or may not occur over decades. Hopefully, there will be a consideration for annexation into the city limits. If not for urban density development, but for incorporation of the fabric of the city.
So you'll be praying that the 91% of our federal revenue that is no longer there will somehow be restored to make sure there's sheriff patrols, is that correct? You don't have to answer that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, that was my point.
I have a question for Ms. Schmuckenkranz. There's an intergovernmental agreement between the Sheriff's Department and between Wayne County and Springfield that the Sheriff's Department will respond to calls in both the area inside the urban growth boundary and, of course, the area outside the urban growth boundary.
I'm not aware of the specific, I don't have the specific terms of that intergovernmental agreement. I could assemble that information and work with County Council to review that and provide that. I do know that there is an agreement for the response by Springfield Police Department to calls for service that are outside the annexed area. That comes up a lot in residential areas that we have that are not incorporated. And in the Glenwood area, Springfield responds for calls for service. And in Glenwood, for example, where there are not annexed the right-of-way, but many of the parcels have been annexed and some haven't. And so I'm not sure of the specifics of that agreement, but I could definitely provide more information.
I would like to see more of that. Mr. Mokraski, I'd like to see more about that. That the City of Springfield Police Department responds outside of the urban growth boundary or outside of the city limits to calls for service. And I'm kind of curious, we have issues on the other side of the freeway from time to time, but I'd like to compare the two situations and see why we're able to do it here, and I'm told we're not able to do it there.
So, as part of that information, it'd be nice to know who's paying for. Part of what we use, we like to think we have an incentive for people to annex, but if there is not really an incentive to annex because we respond to all the calls anyway, why would you want to annex when you have the police coming to your door anyway?
Say historically, anything outside the city limits, whether it's within UDD or not, is considered county. So the sheriff's office is obligated to respond to anything outside the city limits proper.
And my line of questioning, regarding the fact that the Springfield Police Department does often, or as an IGA, that they will respond
as
on what is county land.
Right, as a courtesy.
Is the IGA
not the courtesy?
Thank you.
Okay, just for a minute here. We do respond outside only in agreement with Willamette Lane. And so that's a agreement they pay for the overtime and that. We don't respond outside in their road boundary and actually police those services.
So it's not an IGA with Lane County then? It's with
Willamette Lane. Thank you.
Yes.
Can you
tell me
what the
question? And that is, on the maybe this is for legal. So with the Springfield Fire and Life Safety, so I'm assuming that they would have some sort of agreement with ODF. So in case there, because we have seen, I've witnessed two fires on top of Mountain Gate, and actually was not only Springfield Fire and Life Safety, but ODF responded. And so I'm assuming that there is an agreement between Springfield Fire and Life Safety and ODF, especially up near the top of that, which would literally take helicopters to suppress the fire. Is that correct?
There's a specific boundary map that shows whose jurisdiction, and I'm assuming most of that is under ODF.
ODF protected.
But it'd be useful to pull that.
Yeah, I just would be curious because of that. There's obviously not very good accessibility by vehicle, and so if a fire were to start in that area, and based on what some of the fuel could be, that's why it'd be there is some sort of agreement with Dina, but not an answer tonight, but if one could be provided, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Probably South Cascade Fire District has overlay on that, by the way.
Okay.
So it's probably, and they're probably, most of the properties in that area are being assessed for wild and fire protection. So I'm quite sure there's overlap in jurisdiction. My question's about whether or not sub was referred on this and whether or not the proposed zoning and change to metro plan is going to preclude the ability for sub to locate water facilities on this land in the future, because that's the high land and that's where reservoirs normally go. So just, that's my former water utility experience is my radar's going off, so.
Okay. If I could answer that, yes, sub was referred this, this the metro plan amendment zone change. I would note that many of the water facilities, many of the utility installations in the city are zoned public land and open space, including the one that's on top of the hill. Well, not the one, but the Lamb Heights. They actually went through a zoning map amendment to change the zoning for that water reservoir tank to public land and open space. So that it would allow for, the zoning would allow for public utilities to be installed. And I know that sub and Lamley were closely on a number of projects, including waterline installations along the Middleways pathway, for example. So it has some precedent as to cooperative action between those agencies to provide for utilities in concert with some of the recreational facilities. So this would actually probably facilitate water system.
That's good to know, because some of the court zoning in Eugene doesn't exactly allow for that. I ran into that when I was in the quite getting the same kind of cooperative work between parks and water utility. So good to hear.
Other questions? Well, can we need to adjourn the work session?
Yes.
And then the public hearing is not scheduled till 7.
Correct.
So we need to wait. Yes. I'm looking for. Yes. We need to wait till 7. Okay, so we're going to chat.